are escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey folks, welcome to the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast. This is your repository for truth, and we are looking for truth in a world full of uncertainty. This is your host, Gio, youth pastor of LWIM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. And joining me is a special guest and a recurring guest on this podcast, my dear friend, Danny Orihuela. Take a bow.
Gals, guys, how's everybody doing today? Gio, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, Dano. I mean, the world is in a tailspin, but if you know Jesus Christ, you have no reason to endure, or rather not endure, but have to experience that very same depreciation in the entirety of culture, because Jesus is your culture, right?
My friend, couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, we would like to state our unpopular prejudices on this particular edition of the podcast. We see that Indiana has been the center of controversy for the past couple of days due to Mike Pence, governor of the Hoosier State, signing into law the Indiana Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And let me say this, folks, the act, I've read it from top to bottom. It is a mirror image of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that Congress and Bill Clinton signed into law in 1993. It is the exact same text. As a matter of fact, I recently heard that the federal government was going to sue Indiana for copyright infringement.
Bro, this the left of this country is hilarious, man. Kicking and screaming when one of their own did this years ago.
Weren't you telling me that Hillary Clinton said that this is despicable, and someone said, "Hey, your husband signed it into law."
yes, it was on Twitter. If you guys get a chance to check that out, she came out blasting this thing basically, and someone definitely pointed that little fact out. It was hilarious.
I'm glad they did, but again, this being a podcast that focuses on Christian living and Christian issues and societal issues at that, then we need to obviously allude to the scriptures in order to see what the same has to say about it, specifically for us as young persons. Well, let's provide a little background on this and provide some context for our listeners. We know that Indiana was one of the, it was ground zero along with Oregon, where certain bakers were being persecuted by the homosexual militants of our society because certain bakers in the state did not want to or refused to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding. They had to close down shop, not because they had lack of business, but due to a pecuniary loss, because the government became involved and certain activists within governmental circles became involved in the persecution of Christians who chose not to serve homosexuals, which, by the way, it's not limited to persons that espouse some sort of religious faith. Dano, you and I were saying this before we're recording this particular podcast, is that even secularists, you notice that in the First Amendment, it grants every single person, regardless of your background, of your association, affiliation with any particular congregation or lack thereof, freedom of association. You can associate with whom you want, and you can disassociate yourself with whomever you would want to disassociate with.
Yes, and you bring such a great point when it comes to, because I'm a homosexual, I'm being refused service, they don't want to serve me. Wrong. This thing goes into such a specific realm where it's so sad, actually. I love how this homosexual group likes to come out and say, "Oh, I can't believe we live in a country where in this day and age something like this can actually pass." My thing would be, my view would be, it's sad that we do have to pass this in order for us to protect our own rights. I find this so sad. But going into, a little side note I want to bring up, it's funny how in this particular example, when it comes to, the wedding cakes and this and that, Gio, we were talking about this off air, and I'm of the opinion that if one of these people were to walk into that bakery to go buy a bag of cookies or whatever the case may be for our Latinos out there, maybe to go buy unos pastelitos, buy some, some bocaditos. I'm sure that they had the, you know, as a Christian baker, they would have no problem selling to these people. But when it comes to this specific service of the weddings, that's where things get tricky, in the sense that now these people are kind of forcing their views on whether, even it be, whether it be Christian, whether it be whatever the case may be, you know. And I find it so comical that they're the ones screaming, oh, they're discriminating against us. Oh, you know, they're discriminating. They're persecuting us. But aren't you kind of doing the same thing? It's interesting, huh?
It's reverse discrimination. And let me clarify once again for our listening audience that if you're going to look up the term discrimination in its classical sense, I absolutely abhor what has been done to the English language and most other languages. For that matter, in that so many terms have been redefined, and we have seen the proliferation of a decadence in the language, and more, even young persons, Danny, you're a university student, and you've seen it, even English majors don't know how to appropriately compose a sentence, and much less write a sentence, which is sad, and this is supposed to be in institutions of higher learning, right? But we've seen how it has been utterly decimated. And when we look at the word discrimination in its original sense, one of the things that Noah Webster tells us in his dictionary is that that of being able to see right and wrong, being able to differentiate between one thing and another. Discrimination in this day and age means that somehow you hold a contemptible view or a hatred, a despisal, I don't know what other word to use against a particular group.
Yeah, it definitely brings like a negative connotation to the conversation, which is funny because if you think about it, we discriminate on a daily basis. I mean, everyone has their choice of coffee, whether it's Starbucks, whether it's Dunkin' Donuts. You discriminate. So what are we saying here? Just because I choose, you know, Dunkin' Donuts over Starbucks, what, I'm discriminating against Starbucks?
Dan,
I just think Dunkin' Donuts has a better value.
Dan, I think that the Frappuccinos are going to sue.
Yes.
Those of us.
Now we're going to have another
They are incensed because you have just offended their sensibilities. That's what this is all about. Anyways, folks, I was looking at the text. I went to freerepublic.com and I looked up the text of the Indiana Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which, as we affirmed earlier, is a carbon copy of what the federal government was passed. Mind you, with Democratic majorities and the signature of Bill Clinton. Let me read for our listeners section number 9 of the Indiana version. It says, quote, a person whose exercise of religion has been substantially burdened or is likely to be substantially burdened by a violation of this chapter may assert the violation or impending violation as a claim or defense in a judicial or administrative proceeding, regardless of whether the state or any other governmental entity is a party to the proceeding. If the relevant governmental entity is not a party to the proceeding, the governmental entity has an unconditional right to intervene in order to respond to the person's invocation of this chapter, end quote. Folks, there is nothing there has been asserted by the militants and the obfuscators of our society that LGBTers are not welcome into the state, that somehow there's going to be border patrol at Indiana and they're going to ask them their sexual orientation, and if they affirm I'm homosexual, they will be shot on sight. That is not what is going on here, folks. This is what has been stated. As a matter of fact, I'd like to focus on the ecclesiastical side of this. Now, I was recently made aware that the Disciples of Christ were threatening to move their convention from Indiana over the signing of this Freedom Religious Bill. And the name of this Christian denomination is called the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Now, they are holding their General Assembly in Indianapolis in 2017, and church leaders wrote to Governor Mike Pence last Wednesday asking him to reconsider signing the bill, which he did. And the leaders wrote, quote, the recent passage in the state legislature of the RFRA, Religious Freedom Restoration Act bill, is distressing to us. Purportedly a matter of religious freedom, we find RFRA contrary to the values of our faith. Well, obviously, Daniel, these people are not acclimating themselves to the scriptural text. They are compromising the truth of Jesus Christ and standing in favor of, shall we call it, for lack of better phrasing, secularist values?
Yeah, it's another example of, you know, trying to appease the masses, I would say, trying to be PC.
Dano, but doesn't this go further from appeasing the masses? You and I were speaking off air that this is also a way for Christians to appease the wrath of sinners. The Bible makes very clear, Jesus Christ tells us that sinners are going to hate Christians because if they hated Christ for convicting the world of sin, they're going to hate us who are salt and light of the world and also bring conviction to people's lives that they are in sin and they need a Savior. So therefore, they detest us and try to repress us. So I find that these people who are compromising the gospel message are doing so in order to try to appease sinners. And Paul makes it very clear to the Galatians, if I seek to please man, I am no longer a servant of Christ. I'm sorry to have interrupted you.
No. Basically, that was perfect. You hit the nail on the head. It's funny. I mean, I'm going to bring my first unpopular opinion of the day.
Am I going to have to have my finger on the censor button?
Yeah, let's ask our friend, let's ask our good pastor, Joel Osteen, about appeasing the wrath of sinners, huh? Because, man, if that guy preaches, you know, just the good side of things, just everything is all hunky-dory, man. He's got that recipe down to a science, my friend.
Yeah. Absolutely. And there was another, let's see, it was USA Today. Let me bring this up on my screen just to make sure that I am accurately quoting what it is that many of these persons were stating. It says, the title says, thousands protest religious freedom law in Indiana. This is another thing that I hope that the persons whom this bill is intended to protect would counter-protest. Or not even protest, yes. Rather, they would affirm what it is that the state is trying to do. By the way, Indiana is not the only state to have adopted this rule, folks. Nope. There are 20, nope. I think this would make Indiana the 26th state, don't quote me on that, but the 26th state to adopt these rules, which would protect Christians and other persons of faith from being persecuted by those in the militant homosexual lobby.
Yes, I love this hashtag that I've been seeing on Twitter recently, the whole boycott Indiana. So we're going to boycott the other 28 states as well, because this isn't something that's just limited to Indiana. So,
well, look at what the protesters were shouting, Dano. Again, misinformation, as Governor Mike Pence has been stating for these past few days. No hate in our state. Whose state? Our state. Fix the bill. Folks, it's not only your state. Other people who disagree with you live in the state also. As Dolce Gabbana recently said about Elton John, just because somebody disagrees with you, now you have to be a fascist and try to shut down their opinion. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, man, that was heavy duty right there. And that was actually, that was pretty funny. That was interesting when I saw that Dolce Gabbana came out defending traditional family values and this and that. Man, that took me by surprise, honestly. But honestly, it's refreshing to see that, honestly. Even coming from someone who may not be of the faith, it's actually good to see that finally at least someone up to a certain extent actually agrees with traditional family.
Absolutely. Awesome. I think so. And again, I continue to reaffirm what I said earlier. I hope that the persons whom this bill seeks to protect, they flood the streets and they show their solidarity with the government, because if you don't, this, to me personally, this would be such a blatant backhanded slap to the attempts to protect those very persons that in their indifference they say, it doesn't matter, I don't care, this is going to protect me, but I'm not going to do anything to showcase my support, which these people need it, folks. They're doing something in favor of the Christian community, in favor of freedom, in favor of liberty. They should go out and showcase their support for these things. I mean, seriously, that's the least you can do. Take to Twitter, take to Facebook, and support these people and what they're trying to do. Because, you know, I always find that Christians are complaining and they're bickering about government infringing on their rights. And then when you have persons such as Mike Pence and other legislators doing this, which is protecting religious freedom, and they do these things, we don't do what is supposed to be done on the other side. Support them because they're trying to help us in that respect. Again, I don't trust politicians, folks. I'm going to say that. I don't trust politicians. A lot of these things are done for political expediency. But this, in this particular case, I think this is a noble endeavor and it should be supported by the Christian community.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one thing where I hope it's not for the case now where they want to appease people to just save business, because this is something that protects them, protects their beliefs as individuals. So I hope that it's not the sense where, you know, yeah, we want change. And then when finally something happens where they're finally protected, then they're like, oh, you know, now that it's unpopular, now they're kind of backing away from it. I really hope that's not the case.
I hope not. The cowardice, that would certainly showcase the cowardice of many of these individuals. I'd like to now shift our focus here to the biblical aspect of this, Dano, because you and I were speaking off air also about how many of your peers in the university circles and many other pupils are beginning to see things from the militants' point of view. And they use many, many different tactics, mostly vocalizing mistruths and misleading statements in order to make those of us seem, even though we're only echoing what the Bible has to say. And it doesn't mean that we're just echoing it. We actually believe it, being that it is God's word. And since God is the designer of all creation, he tells us what is the design for creation, and we follow his mandates. So having said that, we need to acclimate ourselves. We need to make sure that we are aligned, assure ourselves that we are aligned with the biblical text. Mark 10:6, Jesus says, in the beginning, have you not heard? In the beginning, God made them male and female. And if you're going to look at this from a purely secular vantage point, we see that males and males and women, they cannot procreate. That is exclusively something that only a heterosexual union can produce. So even in nature, we see that these things, anything that deviates itself from God's design, is an aberration, as the Bible itself says. But I'd like to direct myself to these Christians who are wanting to appease sinners, and they say, well, Jesus loves everyone. Jesus loved everyone, and he hung around with sinners. You've heard this on many occasions for many people, Dano. I'd like for you to explain to our audience how it is that this ugly monster rears his head, misinterpreting the scriptures.
That's a huge one that you just brought up. That's a big point that they bring up. Yeah, Jesus loved everyone. Jesus hung out with these people. Jesus hung out with the worst, with the scum of the earth, we can say. But it's funny because the Bible tells us that Jesus never participated out of any of that. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is sinless. And one thing where they like to appease, where, yeah, Jesus loved everyone, so why shouldn't we? Yes, but Jesus abhors sin. God abhors sin, which is the big point that I want to bring. And that's the big argument that we see now, especially from the youth my age, you know, the college level, even the high school level. This is starting to creep into high school now. And it's very funny because When I hear this, especially from Christian youth, it saddens me, because so you're basically telling me, just in order to fit in with what society's telling us is right, oh yeah, because, you know, gays, yeah, that's perfectly normal. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but are we really gonna stoop down to the point where now, in order to appease that mass, we're gonna go ahead and give up the Christian values that we hold? We're gonna give up the word of God? So in essence, basically what our youth is doing, we're nitpicking what we like and what we don't like. Yeah, Jesus loved everyone, but do we forget what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, I find it funny, especially with our youth, and where we hear, oh, you know, there's nothing, you can be Christian and homosexual, there's nothing wrong with that. But I would ask that person, well, if the whole point of coming to Christ was that you needed a change in your life for the better because you were lost, you had no hope, you had no salvation, why then would you come to Christ and not change? That's an oxymoron. Why would you come seeking help but then keep doing what you're doing before? That makes absolutely no sense.
I think it's a great point, a very valid one, and one that is part of common sense, but then again, there's not too much common sense going around in our generation nowadays, right? It's not being dispensed as frequently as one would enjoy seeing it dispensed. I'd like to allude to the scriptures. We always should, as Christians, as we also stated off air, Daniel, there are many people who say that they are Christians, but if you're not going to align yourself, place yourself under the lordship of Jesus Christ and follow his dictates, don't call yourself a Christian. Even Jesus himself says in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, I forget which chapter in particular, he says, why do you say to me, Lord, why do you call me Lord and do not keep my commandments? And this is what this generation is doing. They're creating a false God, a false Christ in their own mind, and they say, this is the Christ I serve, and they inform everyone else that this is the Christ of the Bible, when in fact, the text tells us it identifies a completely different Christ from the one that they are pledging allegiance to. And I'd like to focus on two particular passages of scripture, Romans chapter 1, verse 28 and on, and then Titus chapter 1 and portions of chapter number 2. It says in Romans 1, 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, folks, sexual immorality, and that includes fornication, that includes a pornography, that includes homosexuality, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters. Here it is, Daniel, haters of God. I constantly hear even homosexuals now who say, I'm a Christian, but yet they don't apply the scriptural mandate to themselves. And what happens? What occurs? They say, I love Jesus. How can you love Jesus and not keep his commandments? Jesus himself said to abstain from sexual immorality. All of these things that defile man, they come from inside of a man. That's what he said, and they defile man. And then Jesus, Mark 10:6, we quoted it earlier, if this is God's original design, why then do you chastise that with your actions and with your words, and you now seek to contradict what the Bible has to say about naturalistic God's design for relationships? Furthermore, if we read Titus chapter number 1, it says in verse number, let's begin in verse 15 to give this some context. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Let me repeat that again, folks. They profess to know God. I know Jesus. I love Jesus, they say. But in works they deny him. When you say it's okay to be a homosexual and a Christian, you are contradicting what the word of God, you're contradicting Jesus. So you can't love a person that you are constantly contradicting and seeking to subterfuge everything he teaches, being abominable, disobedient. Again, to the earlier salient point, how do you say you're a Christian when you do not acquiesce, if you will, to Jesus Christ? You do not grant him space, make him the pinnacle of your existence, and disqualified for every good work. And last but not least, I'd like to start reading from portions of Titus chapter number 2. And it says the following in verse 11. This is an explanation of grace, a brief explanation of grace, but I'd like to focus on what verse 12 has to say. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. There it is, Daniel. All men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Daniel, it couldn't be clearer. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to deny sin. You are going, as a believer, as an adherent to Jesus Christ, you are going to forsake sinfulness. You're going to forsake impiety. You're going to forsake ungodliness and worldly lusts. The Bible couldn't be clearer about this, folks. And should live soberly, clear thinking. You should live righteously. It doesn't matter if the world is living in unrighteousness. You live in a righteous manner and godly, in a pious manner in the present age. The Bible couldn't be clearer, folks.
And Gio, wow, that was awesome, my friend. There's actually another point that also as well, adding to that, where I see especially that this new Christian youth, this new wave, I guess I can call it. It's funny how they want to kind of skate both sides of the fences, if you will. It's one of those where, yeah, we want to be with God, but at the same time, they want to be on the other side of the fence and be with the popular opinion, I would say. And the Bible itself tells us that when that day comes, God is going to spit them right out. And it's another thing too. I want to bring kind of a different view to that same point that you were talking about living in God's plan, living in God's natural plan, where the Bible itself, God tells us that, you know, the plan he had for us was one man, one woman. As I like to say, you know, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, as we like to, that little joke we like to bring about. But it's also funny, and this also goes out to maybe someone who's listening who, it's also a very popular opinion where people have saying, yeah, but we have to love them because they didn't choose to be gay. They were born that way. And it's actually a point that I hear constantly, and it's something that it irks me a bit. they, you know, I've been having, you know, discussions with people on Twitter and this and that on the same subject. And, you know, they send me all these articles. Yeah, people are born gay. Here's the proof. They send me all these articles. Yeah, guys, I've read the article. I know about the whole X-linked chromosome. I know about the supposed chromosome group called XQ28. Yes, I know all that. There's still no definitive proof that people are born gay. And it's a lifestyle. It's a choice. You know, it's a choice to participate in that kind of sin. It's not something that you're born with.
Otherwise, you wouldn't see the amount of people abandoning homosexuality as we have seen that these persons are capable of, and I say capable with quotations between the word.
Gio, that is an excellent point, because it's funny, because if you're born that way, how is it that you can possibly leave? That makes no sense. That's like leaving a club. Yeah, you're not born into the club, you just leave. And it's funny because I even bring maybe people who don't even believe in creation, believe in evolution. So I bring this question up. Okay. If this is supposedly a genetic issue, you know, and, you know, I'm sidetracking a little bit here, but I think it's an important part to bring up. If this is a genetic thing, like they like to say, yes, we're born that way. Well, as far as I know, and I think we alluded to this off air when we were talking, gays can't reproduce. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think they can reproduce. So how is it that we still have them around? How is that genetic, anomaly not gone, according to evolution? And that's just based on their beliefs, on their lies, because we do have the truth in Christ and we know how things are. And it's funny how this whole thing kind of ties in, where they want to scream discrimination and scream this and that. Oh, because we're born that way, we didn't have a choice. No, you guys are making a choice to be this way. And at the end of the day, now you want to push that choice on others, and it just does not work that way. Like you were saying earlier, God has a plan. God made things a certain way. And us as Christians, that's what we go by.
Exactly. Well, great point, Dano. I think we have made the points that we wanted to make and touch upon on this program, and I do say so. If anyone wants to say that I am haughty by affirming what I am about to affirm, well, so be it. The Lord knows my heart. I think we've done so in an efficient manner. And we thank the listener for downloading this podcast, for listening to it on our website, lwim.org. And if someone has forwarded this to you, then we ask you to visit our website and download it. You can house it on your iPod. You can house it on your computer. And we only ask that you share it with others. We are giving by grace what we have been conferred by grace. And that is the word of God. That's all we're doing. We just ask you to promulgate that to others so that they too may know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. If you are in the Miami-Dade, Broward County area, we ask you to visit us every single Wednesday night as we host our Wednesday night youth meetings. And those take place at 8 p.m. And we are located at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. And we are constantly posting new content, including these podcasts and articles, on our website for your reading and listening pleasure, and of course, spiritual nourishment. Visit the website, lwim.org, and visit our social sites on Facebook and on LWIM. Said links are available on our website. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email those to us, gio@lwim.org, gio@lwim.org. For Danny Orihuela, this has been Gio. We will meet you on the next occasion that we undertake the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast. Until then, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWIM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwim.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.